WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Shutdown-related cuts to food stamps, Medicaid, and USDA programs are hurting the nation's food banks, like the one run by Lynette Lowe in Louisville, Kentucky.
Less food coming into the food banks and the increase in need, it's really hard to know how to manage that.
President Trump's announcement that he's ending trade talks with Canada hasn't produced much of a reaction. CBS's Kelly O'Grady.
Investors have seen so much of this tit for tat between these two countries that this latest flare-up is a little bit par for the course.
And Ontario, Canada now says it's pulling the television ad that said tariffs harm everyone, which angered Trump and caused him to cut off the trade talks. Another strike by the Navy on an alleged drug smuggling boat. CBS's Eleanor Watson.
Last week, we saw the first two strikes in the Eastern Pacific. So not only is the timing of these strikes expanding, but also the location.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
For WXCO News, I'm Isabella Nieto. The village of Weston is inviting residents to a listening session next week as they develop a bicycle and pedestrian plan. The plan will guide the future of sidewalks, trails, and bikeways in the area. According to a community announcement, individuals are welcome to share ideas, concerns, and priorities for the future of biking, walking, and rolling in Weston. The meeting will be conducted using Zoom and can be accessed via smartphone, tablet, or computer. Or you can join the meeting in person at the Weston Village Hall next Wednesday at 4 p.m. For more information on how to register for the meeting, visit the Village of Weston Facebook page. A garden and plant center in Merrill is hosting a plant and shrub auction this weekend. Plant Garden Center will auction off their remaining shrubs and trees. Half of the proceeds will go towards the Household Abuse Victims Emergency Network, or HAVEN, which is a nonprofit organization serving people who have been impacted by interpersonal abuse and violence. The auction will start at 10 a.m. at 1003 Center Avenue in Merrill on Saturday. Yellowbanks Park in Weston now has a new inclusive kayak launch and parking lot. WSAW reports the launch and parking lot are open to the public looking to explore the Eau Claire River following months of planning and construction. It features a transfer bench and rollers to help people in and out of the water, and a new parking lot next to the park features spaces for vehicles and kayak trailers. The dock will be taken out during the winter season, but will return for the regular kayak season. I'm Isabella Nieto for WXCO News.
The Bucks on the road. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Bucks are in Canada tonight to take on the Raptors in Toronto. The team getting word yesterday on MRI showing Kevin Porter Jr. suffered a sprained left ankle in the season opener Wednesday night. No word yet on how long he'll be out. College football, the Badgers head to Eugene to face the number 6th ranked Oregon Ducks. Tomorrow night, they kick off at 6 p.m. Packers head to Pittsburgh tomorrow. They'll play Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers on Sunday Night Football. Baseball. The Brewers have promoted GM Matt Arnold to become the president of baseball operations.
It's not going to change materially, honestly. I've never really been focused on titles at all, honestly. It's just been something where you keep your head down and you work hard and good things will happen. Obviously thankful to a ton of people here, including this guy, first and foremost, our ownership, family, like just too many people to thank, but especially the guys that are here that I work with every single day.
That's the Brewers' Matt Arnold with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 98.9 WXCO.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A mostly sunny sky for your Friday afternoon with highs in the lower 50s and light west winds. Overnight, clouds will thicken up, will drop back into the lower 30s. On Saturday, some rain chances developing, mostly cloudy, highs in the lower 50s, currently 46 degrees.
Friday night, it's the start of the playoffs for the Wausau West High School football team. The Warriors will travel to Heartland to take on Arrowhead in a Division I Level 1 playoff. Hear all the action live from the Clover Belt Credit Union broadcast booth, starting with the pregame show at 6:35 p.m. and the opening kickoff at 7 on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Wausau West Football on 98.9 WXCO is brought to you by Sun Printing, the Wausau West Athletic Department, Wisconsin Valley Flag Football, Featherstone Cabinetry, the Wausau West Gridiron Club, K5 Construction, Rocket Industrial, and the Clover Belt Credit Union. It's Wausau West and Heartland Arrowhead in a Division I Level 1 playoff. Friday night, starting with the pregame show at 6:35 on 98.9 WXCO, WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Monday, we'll talk about how the 2026 campaigns already feature several candidates hostile to the majority of voters who support women's health care rights.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Matt Nair on Air.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Albaugh along Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. It is 6 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Welcome into hour number two of the big broadcast here on a TGIF Friday, October 24th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Welcome in, everybody, at the world headquarters of Civic Media, downtown Madison, intersection of State and Fairchild. Look outside, Zom. Aaron Zommers joins us. He's back after a bereavement. Good gosh.
That's the wrong one.
From a brief illness. A brief illness, yes. But look out there. The Sam Davidson street cam. A sunny day. Clouds almost, a pedestrian literally almost got hit. They're walking against the light. The cars have the green. The pedestrians were looking at their phone and just ventured right on out into traffic.
Sure did. Luckily, the driver wasn't on their
phone. There's
going to
be a tragedy. I swear to goodness. I don't want it. Just pay attention if you're on the streets, people. Good Lord.
At least the driver wasn't on their phone.
Right? Thank you. Thank you, the driver this time. Beautiful day out there. And what I can't get over is Elmer's are still talking about during the break. Got a lot of positive comments. We thank you for that. This interview we had last hour with David Umbehan, Richland County cattle farmer from his combine out. It's a perfect day to combine and bale hay. You heard him say, getting in probably fifth crop out there, and because temperatures are killing frost, and then once that happens, it's over. So you got to get the hay done before it freezes. And what a guy to come on the program when he's up to his elbows and trying to get the harvest done, but just his insight, his steadiness, and knowledge of these issues, whether it's beef farming, the effect that the Americans or the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, the fact that so many people in agriculture in this state, hardworking folks, rely on the Affordable Care Act for health care. If you missed it, you can hear it on civicmedia.us, www.civicmedia.us. You can hear it there, as they say, wherever podcasts, you get your podcasts, but you lose something because they don't let us play the music and you hear my heavy breathing or some Muzak or something like that. So don't listen to the podcast. Listen, either go to civicmedia.us or...
That is the podcast.
Oh, that
just
is
go
the
to
podcast.
YouTube.
Zommer says that is the podcast. Just go to YouTube. All right, go to YouTube because you get the whole deal. You get the whole shebang. And you always want the whole shebang.
Or Facebook,
yeah. YouTube or Facebook is where you can find the show in its entirety. And maybe what we'll do, Zommers, I don't often ask for this, but we'll clip out that interview and then we'll post it like on the Todd Allball Show, at the Todd Allball Show Facebook page. And we could also put it on Twitter, which the handle is just at Allball Show.
Yeah, we can definitely do that.
We'll do that for you. And we'll, because you should not, it's not about me, it's about listening to what David Umbihan has to say, an actual cattle farmer. So we'll do that. We'll put it out there. Appreciate David and appreciate all of you. Another big interview at the bottom of this hour. It just goes to prove my point. You don't have to go outside of Richland County to get all your answers. I mean, I'm from Richland County. David's from Richland County. And our guest at the bottom of the hour, Brady Ewing from Richland County. It is a Richland County Lollapalooza.
You know, if only I were from there. I feel like eventually member. I'm going to get replaced by somebody who...
No, not at all. But you're an honorary member.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yes. Well, we've grandfathered you in. Brady Ewing, two-time Big Ten champion and 3 years in the NFL, is going to be here and talk a little bit about Wisconsin Badger football, basketball. Men's basketball gets underway tonight against the exhibition game against Oklahoma at the Fiserv Forum. Playing down there in Milwaukee. Do a little PR. See, that's what you need to do if you're a Wisconsin head coach. It's the PR. As Barry Alvarez says, you got to press palms. Press palms. Luke Fickell can learn a lot from Greg Gard.
Press, yes, absolutely.
Press more palms. So Brady Ewing will be here at the bottom of the hour to talk all about that. We'll ask how bow hunting is going as well. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I mean, I'll be shocked if he'll show up. But I mean, this is like you ask Brady. This is a perfect afternoon to go bow hunting. Maybe he'll join us. Wouldn't that be great? We had David Umbihan from a tractor or a combine. What if Brady joined us from a tree stand?
Well, then he's not getting any deer because he's going to be making so much noise talking.
But it would be great for the show.
But would he whispering like they do on hunting shows? Right, get some ASMR Brady Ewing.
Big buck. Look at that big buck over there. He's starting.
He's coming in.
If people are just tuning in, they could take this the wrong way.
We're talking about a deer.
It's 11 past the hour of 3 o'clock. Time once again for Wisconsin Fun Fact. Here we go.
Oh, Wisconsin, land of beauty, with your hillsides and your plains.
That's right. Wisconsin's official ballad, Wisconsin Land of My Dreams by Sherry Saracen. Okay, Wisconsin's fun fact for the day. On October 24th, 1933, Amelia Earhart visited Janesville to speak to the Janesville Women's History Club. A kicker for this fact took flight in my mind, but since it has disappeared, I'll probably never find it again. I love this segment. I didn't deliver it very well, but I love it. I got to work my delivery better, but I love this segment. I love everything about it.
It's very fun. And I also, I like the joke, the extra jokes in there. Yeah. They're always so good.
It's a fun fact, just followed by silliness. See? All right. 12 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock here. I want to mention this because I think this is important. And Zomers was so kind to get it to me here. And we've been covering this closure of the two-year campuses across the state. And last week, of course, a week ago today, it was announced by UW System that UW Baraboo in Sauk County, right below Wisconsin Dells, they were closing that one down. And I've been critical of the legislature, elected officials in general, on both sides of the aisle for not speaking out about this, except for, to date, State Senator Kelda Royce from Madison, who's now running for governor. She actually went out to Southwest Wisconsin and had a town hall meeting in Muscadet with former state representative Katrina Shanklin when she was still in the assembly about this and listened and tried to do something. And I really appreciate that. And now I think it's important to also shout out. We have new people speaking out, and this is important. We have freshman state senator Sarah Kieski has also spoken out in an article in the Capital Times this week entitled, an editorial entitled, Stop Closing UW Campuses. And state senator Sarah Kieski in this piece from Lodi, a Lodi Democrat, says well aware of the enrollment, staffing, and financial challenges facing the EW system, she's seen the frustrating refusal of legislative Republicans who control both chambers of the legislature and supports to sustain branch campuses. Above all, Kieski is worried about Wisconsin's long-term commitment to higher education. She said in part in her statement, quote, "It's upsetting to see this trend of two-year colleges closing across our state. Wisconsinites are proud of their communities and their local schools. These institutions have provided excellent educational opportunities for students, and I believe it is important that people have two-year options available to them so they can customize their education to fit their personal and career needs. The UW branch campuses also have been good employers to local residents and valuable economic drivers for their campus communities. I am disappointed in the continuous lack of investment in higher education and in our rural communities by my Republican colleagues." Congrats to Sarah Kieski, State Senator Sarah Kieski of Lodi, Democrat, for speaking out on this. Her legislative colleague, State Representative Karen DeSantos of Baraboo, a Democrat, equally pointed and poignant in her response to shutter the branch campus. Representative DeSantos said, quote, "I understand the decision was not made lightly and due to continued declines in enrollment, but we must also acknowledge that this is a part of a greater trend of closing two-year campuses that have suffered at the hand of nearly a decade of insufficient funding in the state budget due to Republicans' lack of investment in the University of Wisconsin. This has eroded UW system's ability to support students across the state and force the decline and to eliminate positions to outsource resources, which has also negatively impacted enrollment." Those are the words of State Representative Karen DeSantos, Democrat of Baraboo. So congratulations on those two. Of course, we already mentioned that State Senator Kelda Royce, Democrat of Madison, who's running for governor, also spoke out about this as, quote, "In Wisconsin, I grew up in, we believed we could achieve financial security and a good life if you are willing to study and work hard. We will regret shutting the doors of opportunity to young people around the state to service tax breaks for billionaires," unquote. In part, the statement from State Senator Kelda Royce. So congratulations and thank you to State Senator Kelda Royce, State Senator Sarah Kieski, and also State Representative Karen DeSantos, all Democrats speaking out. These are the only three legislators that I have seen put out public statements about this. Still silent, Democratic Governor Tony Evers. Lots of silence these days in the governor's office on closing two-year campus. It is, what's the irony of that? The education governor, quote unquote, didn't do so hot for public education in the state budget. And then it continues to close these two-year campuses under his administration. And now you got DPI secretary or superintendent Jill Underley. not so great. When it comes to the education government.
During that one lunch, Evers said that Jay Rothman and the boys are doing the best they can.
Right. It's just like George Bush and during Hurricane Katrina. You're doing a hell of a job, Brownie. Doing a hell of a job, Jay. Keep closing those campuses. By the way, I it pains me to do this, but you got to give the devil his due, so to speak. I'm not calling him the devil, but I'm just saying you got to give the devil his due. State U.S. Representative Congressman Derek Van Orden. You know, a tweet last night about this Jill Underley stuff. You know, Temu, you know what Temu is? It's that cheap in China. They take products like the Apple Watch that are expensive and trendy, and they make cheap knockoffs of them. They sponsored the Super Bowl. Temu, big Chinese company that does ripoffs. Last night on X, on Twitter, Derek Van Orden called Devin Remeker, the current chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party, referred to Devin Remeker as Temu Wickler, referring to former Democratic Party Chair Ben Wickler. He called Derek Van Orden called Devin Remeker the Temu Wickler. And by the way, then he said, this is the whole tweet. Look, Temu Wickler, Devin Remeker, maybe we got off the wrong foot. We just need to get to know each other. I'll start. This is a verbatim tweet from Van Orden. "I like long wanks in the woods and hate mean people. I'm guessing you are more of a beach guy.
I think he may have a typo.
If you're in the 3rd District and if you want to go bow hunting, stay out of the woods because Derek Van Orten may be taking long wanks in the woods, according to his own Twitter page. Come on back on the other side. We'll do a What's Worse on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Paul.
We're from the Wausau Business Show, 100% action-packed Wausau every Saturday, 8 to 9 on Bull Falls 98.9 WXCO. We're also available on Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts.
You're nailing it. Keep going.
WausauBusiness.com. We broadcast from the tippy top of Rib Mountain. So we'll see you Saturday, Wausaunians.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening and loving Wausau, Wisconsin, USA.
Pop Parade.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation just announced the official start date for one of its biggest ever construction projects, the I-94 East-West Project, which will reconstruct and widen a 3.5-mile stretch of interstate highway in the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. This is a massive project with an estimated cost of more than $1.7 billion. And with this official start date announced, also came estimates for how long this will take. Construction is expected to last until 2030. At the recombobulation area, this project is something we've covered extensively, including with an award-winning 4-part series called Expanding the Divide. It might be worth revisiting that series and considering how unnecessary and expensive an extra lane is and how in southeastern Wisconsin, we're going to be dealing with construction and delays for the next 8 years in order to shave a few minutes off suburban commute times while the city streets and city problems go ignored once again.
Find all of Dan's work at the recombobulation area.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Coming up after the bottom of the hour, farm news with Pam Yonke. Mr. Brady Ewing, our 2-time Big Ten champion, 3 years of the NFL, will be here to talk Badger football, basketball, Packers, NFL, and bow hunting. We'll see if Brady joins us from a tree stand. We had David Umbihan on a combine. We'll see if Brady joins. But he usually has deer mounts behind him. So that, you know, that's pretty cool in and of itself. So Brady will be here. Before we do what's worse, super quick, because I feel like I should explain my overdramatic thing that I read at the beginning of the show. But what I was thinking last night, I was texting a friend saying, maybe I should just come on and say, it's over. It's over. Here's why. Steve Bannon, the Trump insider, here's what he had to say about Trump sticking around yesterday.
Well, he's going to get a third term. So Trump 28, Trump is going to be president of 28, and people just ought to get accommodated with that.
So what about the 22nd Amendment?
There's many different alternatives. At the appropriate time, we'll lay out what the plan is. But there's a plan, and President Trump.
There you go. It goes on from there. But so you got Bannon's people just out flat out publicly saying now Trump is going to get a third term. They don't care about amendments or anything. And then you had Pete Hegseth, Secretary of Defense, he calls it war, saying, hey, get ready, boys and girls, because we're going to have military people in all 50 states by 2026.
Secretary Hegseth, sir, a memo circulating on social media details the establishment of a National Guard response force that's going to be trained in crowd control and civil unrest and deployed in all 50 states by April of 2026. Can you verify the authenticity of that memo, and do you have any more information on the operations?
I'm not going to answer particulars on something that may be in the planning process, but we definitely do have multiple layers of National Guard response forces, whether it's in each state, whether it's regionally, whether it's Title 10 active duty, whether it's Washington, D.C. We've got a lot of different ways that constitutionally and legally we can employ Title 10 and Title 32 forces, and we will do so when necessary.
So there you go, Pete Hegseth, opportunity to calm things down. No, no, no. We got military going to all 50 states. And if that wasn't bad enough, Trump deployed aircraft carrier today into Latin waters, Latin American waters, big military buildup as they apparently get ready to attack Venezuela. And they keep bombing these ships now also in the Pacific Ocean with no evidence. They're going at it. Here's Donald Trump yesterday about his solution from the White House.
And briefed them on the operation.
No, we will
these.
Go. I see.
You will go. And we it would be go. Difficult for them go. To object.
I don't see any loss in going. No reason not to. You know, they'll always complain, oh, we should have gone. So we're going to definitely, I'd like to just tell you, let's go. We'll go.
And Mr.
We're going to tell them what we're going to do. And I think they're going to probably like it, except for the radical left lunatics.
And Mr. President, if you are declaring war against these cartels and Congress is likely to approve of that process, why not just ask for a declaration of war?
Well, I don't think we're going to necessarily ask for a declaration of war. I think we're just going to kill people that are bringing drugs into our country. Okay? We're going to kill them. You know? They're going to be like dead. Okay?
We're just going to kill them. They're going to be like dead. We're just going to, the President of the United States, we're just going to start killing people.
That is not AI. He did really say that.
He did actually really say that. But just when you think the world's going to hell in a handbasket, and let's be honest, quite frankly, it is, you get stories like this from WISN Channel 12 in Milwaukee. This is real as well. And he put his name out there, Ryan Porter, in the beautiful River West neighborhood of Milwaukee, which I have friends there, by the way. In beautiful River West neighborhood, this is Ryan Porter, whose house was raided by FBI or ICE. They let this guy go, and the reporter says, "What's going on here? Were you dealing drugs in your house?" Here's the honest answer from Ryan Porter.
When we asked Porter if he's ever sold drugs, he didn't hold back.
So you don't know of any drug selling?
Yeah,
drug
I sell weed.
But that's it.
Yeah, so a little cocaine.
But says he isn't who the FBI is really after.
So you're innocent then, basically.
I mean, it more or less, like I'm small potatoes.
Yeah, I sell some weed. I sell a little cocaine too. How about I'm small potatoes? I mean, you gotta love his honesty.
Like, you do.
And you know that guy sang like a canary to take down the other people in that house. If they let him go. I love every part about that last cut. I love every part about it. By the way, let's go. But this is a great text, by the way. Carmella in Milwaukee listening on WAUK, because I read this. There's a real text earlier from Derek Van Orden, United States Congressman last night, who's going at Twitter now with Wisconsin Democratic Party Chair Devin Remicker, who, and this is a great line, actually, called Devin Remicker not gotten off onto a great start, in my opinion. People see him as not nearly as effective as former chairman Ben Wickler. And so Derek Van Orden called Devin Remicker last night the Timu Wickler. A cheap knockoff, Timu Wickler. And then said, "We just need to get to know each other. I'll start." This is a verbatim quote from Derek Van Orden. Quote, "I like long wanks in the woods and hate mean people. I'm guessing you're more of a beach guy," unquote. To which Carmella, listening on WAUK in Milwaukee, says, "Hey, Todd, my husband has a suggestion. If Van Orden asks nicely, maybe J.D. Vance will let Derek Van Orden use his couch." That's beautiful. Mark and Pernisak, you got 30 seconds. Mark, what do you got?
Yeah, this is a little more serious, but have any of these vessels that Trump has ordered struck or that they've just
picked out of the blue strike, actually shot anything at the vessels that are
not that I know of.
And
two of the guys did not die, and instead of being apprehended, they were sent back to Venezuela because they had no proof they were doing anything wrong. So there's that. All right. Thanks, Mark. Have a good weekend. All right. Come on back. Going to talk about Big Ten football. Do the Badgers have a chance in Oregon against the Ducks?
No.
We'll talk to Brady Ewing after this. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 98.9 WXCO.
With increasing presence of things like data centers cropping up in rural communities, state officials say it's important to look at water like you would any other commodity. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report. Stay tuned to catch more.
As the weather changes, it can start to impact feed quality. Don't let your cows become the victims of the ration roller coaster. Adding Generator Elite to your herd's ration can introduce beneficial microbials that support gut health and help the herd navigate the highs and lows of feed quality, all while using less than an ounce per day per cow. Learn more about Generator Elite at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
The Wisconsin DNR has just finished its annual water survey. Adam Freihofer is the water use section manager with the DNR. He says it's important to look at water like you would any other commodity that you're using on your property, just like electricity.
Oftentimes when people come in for water, a request for water with a high cap well or whatnot, we'll say, how much are you using now? What are your needs? How much are you applying to your land? Knowing what you're using, metering it, putting a meter on your well and knowing, like, sometimes there's concern like, well, I don't want to know this stuff because I don't want the department to know. Well, even if you don't share it with it, even if you don't have to share it with the department, knowing what you're using is really helpful for yourself.
He says Wisconsin just came off one of the highest levels of groundwater since records were kept back in 1920. What does that mean for water use in the state? We've got that full interview at MidwestFarmReport.com or through our Midwest Farm Report app. Just look on the podcast page. We'll take a look at closing commodity prices next.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
On the close Friday from Chicago, Class 3 milk contracts are rallying with November milk up 43 cents at $17.86 a hundredweight, the December contract up 47 cents at $17.32 a hundredweight. Class 3 milk goes to make cheese, and we saw that lift carry through. The 40-pound block closed up a nickel and a quarter at $1.77 and three quarters. For the most part, grain markets tell a different story. December new crop corn down 4 3/4 cents, closing at $4.23 and a quarter. November new crop beans down 3 cents, closing at $10.41 and 3 quarters. And July 2026 new crop wheat closed up a half a cent at $5.50 a bushel. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff. Have a good weekend.
You're listening to 98.9 WXCO, Wausau's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A mostly sunny sky for your Friday afternoon with highs in the lower 50s and light west winds. Overnight, clouds will thicken up, will drop back into the lower 30s. On Saturday, some rain chances developing, mostly cloudy, highs in the lower 50s. Right now, it's 48.
Friday night, it's the start of the playoffs for the Wausau West High School football team. The Warriors will travel to Heartland to take on Arrowhead in a Division I Level 1 playoff. Hear all the action live from the Clover Belt Credit Union broadcast booth, starting with the pregame show at 6:35 p.m. and the opening kickoff at 7 on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Wausau West Football on 98.9 WXCO is brought to you by Sun Printing, the Wausau West Athletic Department, Wisconsin Valley Flag Football, Featherstone Cabinetry, the Wausau West Gridiron Club, K5 Construction, Rocket Industrial, and the Cloverbelt Credit Union. It's Wausau West and Heartland Arrowhead in a Division I Level 1 playoff. Friday night, starting with the pregame show at 6:35 on 98.9 WXCO, WXCO.FM, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
Happy Halloween from the Rational Revolution. We have a ghost hunter. Todd Michaels joins us to celebrate Halloween.
Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
To this day, when I hear that song, I see you standing there on that lawn. Discount shades, store-bought tan, flip-flops, and cut-off jeans.
Welcome back to Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 35 minutes now past the hour of 3 o'clock on this Friday, TGIF, October 24th, 2025. We have arrived at the end of the broadcast week for this program, and it makes me happy every time it ends with our friend, our ongoing contributor, two-time Big Ten champion with the Wisconsin Badger football team, 3 years in the NFL, and now joins us from his home, from our mutual hometown of beautiful Richland Center, Wisconsin. Brady Ewing, how the heck are you?
Doing great, Todd. Thanks for having me again. I know it's been a few weeks.
It's great to have you back anytime. Now, I said earlier in the show, today's show proves that you really don't have to leave Richland County to get all the answers to the world. Because earlier we had our fellow Richland Countyan David Umbihan, Richland County cattle farmer. Their family was dairy farmers for a long time. He joined us from his combine in Richland County to talk about beef prices and tariffs and the influx of potential influx of Argentinian beef. And now here we've got you, Brady Ewing, joining us from Richland County. We were wondering if you might join us from a deer stand, but you have deer mounts behind you.
Yeah, close second there.
Yeah.
No, that's great to hear about Dave, and had a chance to interact with him a little bit when he was watching some of his grandkids' sporting events, mm-hmm. and said he loves tuning into the show. So cool to be able to get that perspective from him.
Well, we are honored to have him, and honored to have him as a listener to the program, as well as everybody else. And great to have you back, Brady. So much, not like there's anything happening over on Monroe Street in Madison these days, right?
Oh man, busy spot. lots of spotlights on that spot.
All right, so let's just jump right into it. Wisconsin Badger football team is out on the West Coast. They will face the Oregon Ducks, the terrible, evil, awful Oregon Ducks. The pregame show starts at 4 o'clock, the kickoff at 6 o'clock. The Badgers are on a losing streak. Coach Luke Fickell under fire. Our athletic director, Chris McIntosh, under fire. We've talked earlier this program, Brady, just because I'm interested more to hear from you today. You know this, I told you beforehand, we played cuts from former Badger punter, Badger football punter, Brad Nortman, who is on ESPN Wisconsin. He's saying that he has sources inside the athletic department on Monroe Street that claim that head coach Luke Fickell has no interest in going around and developing relationships with high school football coaches, doing the press events. You know, I remember Coach Bielema, your former head coach, used to go down to Monroe. They had a big event down there with the boosters in Greene County. And then that was followed up on the same network on ESPN Wisconsin with former football coach and athletic director Barry Alvarez, not directly criticizing Fickell, but went out of his way to say, you know, we've gotten away from in our athletic programs of going out and quote-unquote pressing palms. And he said, you know, I used to load up Bo and me and two or three head coaches and you know, administrators. We went around the state. We explained our needs. And and this came on the heels of current athletic director Chris McIntosh sending out a letter basically saying we need more money in the program. We have to put more money in to be competitive. And lastly, former Badger NFL Hall of Famer, he was on this program at his farm, which I'm wearing the hat right now, as coincidentally, Six Springs Farm, a Hall of Fame beef. Joe Thomas, who you and I were at his farm a couple months ago, Joe Thomas said in a program here in Madison that he believes McIntosh is at least partly on the right track, putting money in, but it's not all about that. You take it where you want to go, Brady. After all
That was a great summary.
Well, I just want the setup, and now I'll shut up as a former walk-on that ended up being a scholarship captain of this team who won two Big Ten championships, who went to Rose Bowls. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, throwing me a softball to try to take it where I hit it where I need to in the field of play here. But, you know, just reflecting on what you said there lastly about Joe Thomas, I think he's onto something. I think everybody has – there's little bits of all of that that can apply to this situation, whether it be the program needing more money to get, you know, higher caliber of talent in today's college landscape. I think there's probably some truth to that. I think getting out in the state, you know, I look at my own situation and growing up in the state, being from Richland Center, growing up watching the Badgers, that is where I always wanted to be. I got recruited other places, had a Division I scholarship offer from North Dakota, and chose to be a Wisconsin Badger because of what that meant to me and what that meant in the state of Wisconsin. And so, you know, to hear that the coaches aren't out allegedly, you know, fostering those relationships at the high schools and trying to keep the players in state, that's tough to hear because we've seen some of the best players in the state go to other programs, whether it be Ohio State, whether it be Notre Dame, whether it be Minnesota and others. Go to those programs and leave the state and not really have the draw and that holding power in Wisconsin anymore. And I feel like maybe it's a little bit of a biased opinion, but I feel like that has been the heartbeat, the culture of the team before Fickell's time. So I think of all of those different things I've heard from McIntosh's statement, getting more money, there's some validity there. Getting out and meeting the fans and understanding their needs, I think that's important, sure. But I think most important to me is keeping the heartbeat of the team in a part of Wisconsin football. I think a lot of these ebbs and flows of going out and getting talent, having people transfer, having the name, image, likeness stuff, I think all of that could be stabilized if you have a heartbeat in that culture, even if it's walk-ons or even if it's some of the guys that aren't the top tier talent. I think there's still a window here where there's guys that understand what Wisconsin football has been and can be, and it means something to them. I think that more than anything in today's college athletic landscape, if it means something to you for the, not just the name on the back, but the name you have on the front of your jersey, that's going to have staying power in today's college athletic landscape.
We're talking with Brady Ewing, two-time Big Ten champion with Wisconsin football, and then spent 3 years in the NFL. Joins us every other Friday. Brady, I couldn't agree with what you said more. And I sent you a clip. I know you've seen it. Interest of time, I'm not going to play it, but I get a quick summary. Michigan, longtime iconic Michigan State coach Tom Izzo this week really spoke out against college basketball in the NCAA because now in Louisville, you've got a guy who played in the NBA G League who now NCAA is letting come back and be recruited by Louisville to play college ball. And Izzo said, this thing is out of control. You've got no rules, he said, on top of no new rules. And yeah. I thought it was a great comment by Izzo. But to your point, do you feel as a former player, as an NFL player, because Alvarez always said when he came in, when he changed Wisconsin, it was about drawing a perimeter about around Wisconsin. And you're going to focus on the guys in this state and keeping them home. I think that Bielema and Crist largely kept that intact. I'm not so sure about Anderson's 2 years, but whatever. But to your point, do you think this is in today's NIL transfer portal, what you just said, keeping guys in Wisconsin at home, is that a realistic way to compete with what Izzo's talking about?
Man, I have to believe it is, because you look at history, you know, and it is a changing landscape, but you look at history and we have been able to compete with that top tier talent and get to the Rose Bowls, win the Big Ten championships against with that mindset and that philosophy. And I just feel like, especially when you're struggling, when adversity comes, like we're in right now as a football program, you have to double down on some sort of identity. And I feel like Wisconsin folks still, The young athletes in the state still know what the program brings, what the academic situation is like there, and doubling down on your identity there, I think still can compete, even with bringing G League people back, even with giving, you know, JUCO folks additional years after they've had that, you know, those JUCO years, which I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, but it's, they have to set some guide rails around what's going on in college athletics as mm-hmm. we go forward. And I think those that continue to maintain an identity and a culture that can transcend all of these roller coasters, ups and downs, are the ones that will consistently be successful, or the ones that just throw a ton of money at it.
Yeah.
You know, that would probably help, but I don't think that's ever going to be our situation at Wisconsin. So we have to find some way to differentiate ourselves. I look at, is it Shaka Smart, the coach at yeah. Marquette for basketball? Mm-hmm. I heard him talking about his 7 or 9 page core values mission statement for his program. And while that seems like a lot, it kind of got me fired up, because you look at the way he's retained talent, you know, yeah. over his years. And he said he shares it with recruits coming out of high school, or people that they're recruiting in the transfer portal. He shares that with them so they know what they're getting into and the culture and the things that matter to that program. And I think that gives him some staying power with those guys that it's not a good fit for everybody, but he doesn't want the ones that don't want to be a part of it. And so the ones that want to be a part of it are bought in, and it has some staying power there with that.
I think it's a great point.
Just drawing some parallel.
No, I think it's a great point. And Coach Smart has gotten it done at Marquette. Made their team competitive every year. Talking to Brady Ewing, 2-time Big Ten champion with Wisconsin Badgers, 3 years in the NFL. Brady, a listener in Wausau. We were just there last week up in WXCL, beautiful Wausau. Dan in Wausau says, I don't understand why, if Badgers always have incredible offensive linemen, why we can't get amazing quarterbacks. Is it only about money and free vehicles now and highest name university for draft clout? Brady, thoughts?
I think our history as a running school probably doesn't help that. You know, you look at the philosophy we had as a offense historically. You know, the quarterbacks that had great arm strength and great talent, while we could have used that, they felt like they were just going to be handing the ball off. So I think that kind of pigeonholed us historically, you know, leading into guys like, you know, Russell, who's had a great pro career and kind of had that dual threat approach. But
I was just going to ask, I mean, you played with your senior year with co-captains with Russell Wilson. He was one of the first guys who really, this is before transfer portals, right? Because he was a senior yeah. that still had a year of eligibility. One of the first guys really to notably do this sort of thing, and was enormously mm-hmm. successful, led you guys to a Big Ten championship and a Rose Bowl. Why did Russell Wilson, I mean, you got to be friends with him. Why, in your opinion, did he choose Wisconsin? Because he could have gone almost anywhere.
Yeah, I think a lot of things aligned for him. The timing, the situation as far as, you know, who had graduated, all of that played in, because it was going to be his 1 year to come in and contribute. He didn't want to go sit on the bench somewhere. But I think he saw that history and that potential the year previous, and he wanted to be a part of that and try to make a run together. And I think he also wanted to work with Coach Crist. And yeah. Coach Crist, with his offensive mind and the experience that he had, I think Russell thought that set him up well to transition, learn, grow, help the team have success, but also catapult him in his NFL career as well.
And, you know, he won a Super Bowl. He did okay with the Seattle Seahawks. And now he's out at New York. I wish you had more time, because did you see this whole thing with he and, what's his name, Sean Payton out in Colorado, out in Denver?
Yeah, going crazy. Back and forth. And
yeah. Because anyway, I just thought it was low. I mean, Russ Wilson called Sean out and said, oh, this is low class, going after me, after, you know, because he was, what's his name? It's Sean, it's not McManus, it's right? Like former coach of the New Orleans Saints, and now he's at Denver. Anyway, he was suspended yep. for like a year for throwing games. And, wow. and then he goes after Russell Wilson like that. Come on. Come on. Don't pick on Russell Wilson. Come on back. We're going to speak with more with Brady Ewing. Ask him about men's basketball. And how are things going on the deer stand? It's bow season. Don't go anywhere. It's bow and Brady season. Welcome back to the Todd Hallball Show in just a minute.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
am Dr. Chris Kammer, the rockin' dentist, with another victorious dental minute here on Civic Media. You know, for decades, we were taught that cavities had to be drilled and filled, but the evidence shows that cavities are actually a disease process that can be effectively treated with medicine instead of always resorting to surgery with a dental drill. Today, dentistry is embracing minimally invasive techniques that heal decay instead of amputating tooth structure with a drill. Dentists can now stop cavities before they spread and even encourage natural repair. It's a big shift in thinking because dentistry is actually moving away from drilling and patching holes toward actually managing the disease. This means no shots, no drills, and happier, long-lasting smiles for you. Ask your dentist because this radical transformation for dental visits is here now. And I'm Dr. Chris Kammer bringing you the good news about modern dentistry with another victorious dental minute right here on Civic Media.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The North Carolina legislature passed a new gerrymandered congressional map October 22nd, likely adding a GOP congressional seat to offset expected 2026 midterm losses in the U.S. House. Legislators diluted black voting power to do it, but say it was for partisan reasons. The map likely gives Republicans an 11-3 advantage in a purple state where President Trump won by only 3.3% in 2024. State leaders went out of their way to say it was manipulated to help maintain GOP control of the U.S. House. State Senator Ralph Hayes said, "The motivation behind this redraw is simple and singular. Draw a new map that will bring an additional Republican seat to the congressional delegation." Why admit the cheating? The U.S. Supreme Court's Rucho decision said gerrymandering for partisan reasons was a state political matter, not a matter for the federal courts. For the moment, racial gerrymandering is still illegal under the Voting Rights Act, so the deliberate admission of partisan gerrymandering helps to create an alibi when the case reaches federal court. The new map changed only Congressional District 1, a currently competitive Northeast district where black Congressman Don Davis won by 2%. A North Carolina Black Alliance analysis shows it shifted 8% of black voters into adjoining redder districts, diluting black voting power and tilting District 1 Republican. We've linked to more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Todd Albaugh Show, where it's always First and 10 Wisconsin.
Welcome back. Glad to have you along. Many thanks to Mike Mankey for cutting that. Who's better than Mike Mankey?
That is great.
Isn't that great? It's so nice of him to do that. You know, Brady for
one take.
He did it in one take, of course. And of course, Brady, you know, for 4 years had the distinct pleasure and honor of having his name called by Mike several times. At Camp Randall.
Yeah, not too many times, but
no, several times.
I did listen to the weekend review the other week when you had him on. That was a pretty nice little interview.
Yeah, he was fantastic. Mike Mankey, the PA announcer for Wisconsin Badger football and basketball as well. Occasionally still fills in for volleyball. We are honored to have Mr. Brady Ewing with us, two-time Big Ten champion, 3 years in the NFL, joins us via StreamYard every other Friday. Lots to get to, Brady. Speed round here. First, a special shout-out to our listeners on WISS up in Oshkosh. Get yourself to Green Bay tonight. To the Marcus Bay Park Cinema in Green Bay, a special screening of the brand new film No Packers, No Life at 6:30 tonight is going to be followed by a Q&A with former Packers president and CEO Mark Murphy in the house.
Ooh.
So get yourself to the Marcus Bay Park Cinema in Green Bay tonight at 6:30 for our special screening of No Packers, No Life with Mark Murphy. You can find tickets at nopackersnolife.com and marcustheaters.com as well. I saw the movie, Brady. It's fantastic.
It's awesome. Yeah. I'll check that out.
Check that out. Also, quick shout out to the Richland Center Hornets, our alma mater. I know you still do some coaching on the strength and conditioning side. The Hornets made it into the playoffs.
They did. Snuck in, but I feel like they've learned a ton through the season, and it's if they can put a full game together, they'll be ready to compete. They are playing kind of a state powerhouse. It reminds me of the Lancaster of old and Stratford. They have had some great playoff runs through the years, but I feel like the Hornets are well-positioned. It's just an honor to work with those guys and others from the school in the weight room and consistently help them just get stronger, improve their confidence, and it's been exciting to see them this year compete.
I think that's great. You can watch them on YouTube, I believe you said tonight. They're going to be on that.
Yep.
All right, yeah. Very good.
Mike Hemling already sent me the link out. Oh, he said he's waiting in the queue, ready to go.
All right, fantastic. And on WRCO in Richland Center tonight, the River Valley from Spring Green, Southwest Wisconsin, in the playoffs, traveling up to Durand, Arkansas. I did not know there was a Durand. I knew there was Durand. I did not know there was an Arkansas. My little sister, Heather, who lives in Eau Claire, says it's up by me in Eau Claire, Arkansas, S-A-W at the end. So, news you can use, Brady. How about that?
Hey, I learned something new today.
So maybe
one thing at work, one thing here on the show. So that's good.
So maybe Heather fill me and Henry Bray are going to head up there and call the game. Heather and Mike should have them over for a little brunch or something later on. So put the tables out.
Put the pressure on.
That's right. Brett and Brown Deer listening to WAUK in Milwaukee, helping an old man Todd out with my memory. I was trying to think of the head coach at Denver, Sean Payton, Todd, was suspended. That's right. It wasn't throwing games. That's the NBA. Suspended for issuing bounties on opposing players. I think it came out that he didn't do it directly, but he knew of it and never did anything about it and had to do a one-year suspension, went to Denver, and then they did that raw deal on Russell Wilson where they said, if you don't take off the clause in your contract where if you get hurt, we still owe you millions of dollars, we're going to bench you. And Russell's like, I signed a contract. I'm keeping my deal. You guys got to keep yours. And Payton benched him in Denver.
Yeah, it's crazy. Now they're shooting shots at each other.
Yeah.
In the media. There's a lot going on in sports right now.
There's a lot.
That, Wisconsin, some of the basketball stuff going on.
Yeah, we mentioned it earlier, Wisconsin basketball. I went to the red and white game at the Kohl Center this weekend. I like what I see. They got a couple of these guys. Nice. The Australian guy, I like you. He's kind of got the Brusewitz hair a little bit, like Brusewitz, his little bro, and he's tall and he's built. I got a great shot. So
we got some good returners and some good guys coming in. So it should be exciting to watch.
It should be. They get underway exhibition tonight at Fiserv Forum. Speaking of Shaka Smart, I bet he'll be there to scout the Badgers because Marquette plays at Wisconsin this year later on. I broadcast pregame show tonight at 6:30 for Wisconsin Badgers and then the tip-off from Fiserv for Bucky at around 7 o'clock. It is bow season, Brady. I know you've been out there. Thank you because this would have been a great afternoon to be out on the stand. So thanks for doing this. How's it going?
You bet. Good. It's been very limited thus far just because the kids stuff has been keeping us busy. So we wrapped up flag football and tackle football last Saturday, and nice. This weekend is the last weekend of soccer games for the three different oldest boys of ours. So things are winding down there. My coaching responsibilities, at least for the fall, have toned down a little bit, and then basketball will be cranking up before we know it. So I'm excited for these next 2 week window here, especially with the cooler weather.
Right.
The cameras are starting to light up with Bucks getting onto the scrapes and getting ready to go. So
you have cameras right at your stand, so you know when they're coming and going.
Yeah, I try not to put them right next to my stand, but I got some of the cellular cameras, or I use the cutty back system that takes a picture and it sends it to a cell camera, and then I get it in my email. So it's pretty fun to watch between that shed hunting and the actual hunting itself. I don't know what's more fun. I love the shed hunting in the winter. I like looking at the pictures and
Just if you're watching your cameras, here's a word of advice based on our earlier story. Don't watch it while the kids are around because Derek Van Orden is walking through the woods these days. So you don't.
That's what I heard.
You don't know what you might find on your cameras there in Richland County in the woods. It's always a pleasure, my friend. You put a smile on my face. Thanks for the great conversation. Todd. And go Hornets tonight, right?
That's right. Go Hornets. And, go Bucky.
Very quickly. Wisconsin to Oregon prediction.
Going to be a tough one on the road. I you know I'm optimistic. I'm going to say I'm not as optimistic.
38-0 Oregon. That's my prediction. Ooh. Yeah.
1 point off from the Iowa loss.
Sad but true. All right. Always a winner with Brady Ewing. Thanks, Brady. We'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Thanks, Todd.
On Wisconsin. Thanks, and remember, whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio. WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News special report, lower than forecast inflation data, has pushed all three major Wall Street indices to record highs today. The Dow closed up 1%, the S&P 500 ended the day up about 0.75%, and the NASDAQ was up more than 1% at the closing bell. CBS's Kelly O'Grady says the street was surprised, but in a good way.
Inflation did tick up. It did tick up to 3% annually, which is the first time we've seen a 3 in front of that number since January, but it didn't tick up as much as Wall Street expected.
CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger says the inflation report will give the nation central bank a rationale for cutting a key interest rate.
The report will be fodder for the Federal Reserve, which is set to meet next week. Most believe the Fed will continue cutting interest rates this time, most likely by another 0.25%.
CBS News special report. I'm Christopher Cruz.